It's 8.15. It's the final day of the Oireachtas Health Committee's hearings on abortion legislation. Today, legal and ethics experts will give their take on the heads of the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Bill 2013. One of them is Dr. Ruth Fletcher at the School of Law at Keele University in the UK and Director of their Centre of Law and Ethics Society. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Nora.
Ruth, you have a new perspective to bring to the discussions today. Tell me a little bit about that. Can you start with the definition of the unborn? It's been the subject to much debate here.
Sure, I'd be very happy to do that. I mean, first of all, I'd just like to say that it's very welcome that the proposed legislation is going through. You know, we've waited 20 years to implement a right to life-saving abortion, so I'm really glad to see it's happening. But since we've waited 20 years, it is once-in-a-generation opportunity, and one of the things that the legislation could do a little more clearly and could do a little more positively is to look at the definition of the unborn. At the moment, it defines the unborn as starting from implantation, and there is an opportunity to define the unborn so that it excludes those fetuses which have lethal abnormalities. As I'm sure you've been aware, there's been the famous case of Deirdre de Barra, who's now come out as Deirdre Conroy, who took a case to the European Court of Human Rights and argued that she shouldn't have to travel for abortion in circumstances where one of the fetuses in her womb was dead and the other was dying. And so the Irish state actually argued before the court that it was possible to define the unborn so as to exclude those sorts of pregnancies where the fetus is not going to survive outside the womb. So I would say that this legislative opportunity, there's an obligation really on Parliament to deliver on their argument in the and Ireland and to act in order to protect and alleviate the suffering of those women who have unsustainable pregnancies.
And the second issue, Ruth, is weighing up the woman's right to life versus the fetus's right to life.
That's right. The heads 2 to 4 address the risk of loss of life that justifies the termination of pregnancy. And the focus, as you'll know, has been on particularly on the risk of suicide. And one of the issues, if you look more generally at the ethical theories and how we evaluate life and what it means, one of the ways in which we do that is we have different categories in ethical theory for trying to define the capacities that give life meaning. And so I would say that life, there are three different ways in which we might categorize the value of life. One is that the early forms of embryonic and fetal life, that they have moral value as entities which have the potential for future personhood. A second sort of category is when human life has sentience, when it's capable of feeling pleasure or pain. And that's a later stage in pregnancy. And so life in that form gets more value. It gets a form of moral status that comes with sentience and that capacity. And then we have a third category, which is full personhood, where people develop the consciousness and ability to reflect on their lives and make choices. So given that those are three different stages in the development of human life and three different ways in which we value human life, when we're weighing up the woman's right to life against the fetal right to life, we're not weighing like with like. And one of the problems with the current interpretation of Article 43.3 is that it treats a woman's life and a fetal life as if they are exactly the same thing. So fetal life is an important entity, obviously. It's a biological entity which is valuable and wonderful as that, and it's valuable as something that has potential for future personhood. But women's lives are valuable as biological entities, as sentient beings who can feel pain and pleasure and who have interests in well-being, and also as full persons who are conscious, who think, who reflect and make decisions. So when you're weighing up those two entities...
Would it be helpful, we've spoken in the past about having a time period in gestation that would be a cut-off time period. So when you were talking there about the various stages, I suppose the Catholic, the fundamentalist view is that the moment of conception, that newly fertilised ovum, has the potential for life and must be protected. And then, of course, we go through the pre-embryo, embryo, fetus stage, and finally a newborn baby. But would it be helpful to have a period beyond which a termination cannot happen?
Well, all through pregnancy, we're going to have the potential for conflict, unfortunately. So having a cut-off period might be relevant at the sort of stages of sentience in later. The earliest possible stages of sentience, according to the current literature, is about the 24-week period. So at that sort of period, we have an obligation to the fetus to reduce harm. But at the same time, that has to be weighed against the obligation we also have to pregnant women. And so there could be circumstances, even late in pregnancy, when a woman's life is at risk, that might justify ending a fetal life, even though it's a sentient being. So yes, there are different stages, but excluding termination during pregnancy altogether is simply not going to vindicate women's right to life and right to health and well-being.
Ruth, finally, can I just ask you about the criminalisation? Head 19 of the bill provides for criminalisation for someone who performs an abortion outside the rules set down in the legislation. You're proposing a new way of vindicating the right to life.
Yes, the Article 43.3 doesn't require criminalisation. And what the new offence is doing is it's imposing a 14-year penalty as a maximum for any attempt to destroy unborn human life. And my argument would be that that is unnecessary and that criminalisation doesn't work for a start in achieving the objective of protecting fetal life. So criminalisation is a disproportionate and unfair response to Article 43.3. There are other legal ways of vindicating fetal life as required by that constitutional provision. There are positive things that the legislature can do. It can regulate the access to termination as it is doing under Heads 2 to 4. But it doesn't have to criminalise. It doesn't have to punish women that fall outside those tests. So I would say the criminalisation is unnecessary under Article 43.3, and it simply makes the situation worse by stigmatising women who are looking for termination in difficult situations and by making it more difficult for their healthcare practitioners to help them. You know, other methods that the legislature could use to vindicate unborn life under Article 43.3 are, as I say, to regulate or, you know, to invest positively in care for fetal life in pregnancy, to invest in maternal care, you know, maybe to invest in research in miscarriage. There are a whole range of legal avenues that are available apart from criminalisation.
Right, thanks.
And
to
so I would
sorry to cut you off there. That's Dr. Ruth Fletcher. She's appearing before the Oireachtas Health Committee's final hearings today on the abortion legislation. She's at the School of Law at Keele University in the UK and Director of the Centre of Law and Ethics Society. Thank you for joining us on the programme.